KKO On Air takes you beyond legal. This podcast is for general guidelines only, and the contents do not constitute as legal advice and should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome, listeners, to the fourth episode of Budijaya On Air. My name is Zevanya Prabowo, and I will be the host for today's podcast. In this podcast, we are going to continue our previous discussion regarding SIP accident examination. For you who are new to this podcast, we give you a warm welcome and thank you for listening to our podcast. And if you haven't listened yet to our previous episode, kindly check episode 2, Understanding Shipping Law and Introduction, to understand a bigger picture and previous step in handling SIP accident. So today, we again have two very special guests that have a lot of experience in Indonesian shipping law. There is our very own senior associate, Ms. Stephanie Oktaria Simorangkir, and also our associate, Iketut Dharma Putrayoga. So Ms. Stephanie, how are you today?
Thank you, Zevanya. Doing good.
Okay, and then Yoga, how are you today?
Yeah, me as well. Very good.
Okay, thank you for attending this session. So, for the audience, to give you a brief summary, in the previous episode, episode 2, we have talked about the Minister of Transportation Regulation, number 6/2020, regarding SIP accident examination. What we have talked about in the earlier first step to be taken upon occurrence of ship accident, and then also the first step or first stage of ship accident examination, which is preliminary examination, such as information of accident or IKK and ship accident report and LKK, and also in the end, the output of preliminary examination, which is minutes of preliminary examination or berita acara pemeriksaan pendahuluan, or simply known as BAPP. Now we are entering into the next stage in the examination, which is follow-up examination in the maritime court. So probably the first question I will ask to Yoga. So Yoga, can you tell me a little bit about the process in the maritime court?
Yes, thank you, Zevanya. Well, actually, after the minutes of preliminary examination is received by the Secretariat of the Maritime Court, and it is deemed sufficient to be proceed, then the head of the Maritime Court at the latest 7 days after the document is received will appoint a panel of experts.
What do you mean deemed sufficient? What happens if the minutes of preliminary examination or BAPP are not deemed sufficient?
With that regard, the harbor master may require to complete the preliminary examination at the latest 7 days after the document deemed incomplete by the maritime court.
Okay, Yuga, thank you for your answer. So in this regard, then what are other differences between this regulation, the current one in 2020, compared to the previous one in 2006? Maybe Stephanie can help to answer.
So there are several changes from the previous regulation in 2006 compared to the new regulation that issued on 2020. Firstly, probably regarding the composition of the panel of experts, or previously known as the panel of judges. So in the regulation 2006, there are 5 persons of the panel, which comprise of, firstly, the first level nautical expert, who will be the head of the panel, and the first nautical expert, first level technical expert, or it can be replaced with the second level technical expert, 1 bachelor of ship engineering, and 1 bachelor of law. Currently, under the regulation 2020, the panel of expert consists of five person who shall be consisted of first level nautical expert, who will be the head of the panel, first level nautical expert, first level technical expert, one Bachelor of Ship Engineering and Bachelor of Law. And further, there is also possibility that the panel of experts only consists of three experts. This can be happen in the circumstances where the collision only involves the vessels with gross tonnage below 35 GT. The accident only involves one vessel, or we can call it a single ship accident. And it can also be happen when the master has the fourth level nautical expert or fifth level nautical expert, or he possess the certificate of competency, or we call it surat keterangan kecakapan in Indonesia. Further, it can also be consisted only with three experts if the accident caused no casualties.
Okay, Stephanie, thank you for your explanation. So there are like different composition between the previous and the current one. So I would like to ask further question probably to Yoga. So in the term of the accused, when the ship accident happened, or those that will be processed in the maritime court, what is to be expected during this phase?
Yes, thank you, Zivanya. Well, actually, once the panel of experts receive the minutes of a preliminary examination, they will determine the time and place of the maritime court proceeding. After that, they will then send a court a summons for the experts, the accused, and also the witnesses. If the accused or the witnesses is located in Indonesia, they will receive the summons 7 days before the first court proceeding. Meanwhile, if they are abroad, they will receive the summons within 14 days before the first proceedings. And also in case where the accused and the witnesses cannot appear before the maritime court, they must send a written explanation of why they cannot appear before the court. And also this explanation should be sent to the maritime court at the latest 2 days before the proceedings is commenced. But despite their absence, the first proceeding will still continue.
Oh, okay. So there will be summoned before the court. I think what I want to ask is, what if they don't appear, they don't attend in the next proceeding too? So maybe Ms. Stephanie can explain about it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Stephanie, again. So they will receive a second summons 7 days before the second court hearing. And alternatively, the inspection team may also choose to request the harbor master to collect a written information or written testimony from the summon, accused, or witness. In this case, if the summon, accused, or witness has received the second summon but still not appear for the second proceedings or second court hearing, they will receive the third summon at least 7 days before the third court hearing. And lastly, if the accused or the witness still not appear to the third court hearing, the case will be adjudged without their presence.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Stephanie. So if you're an accused in this ship accident, so what to be expected is you will get like multiple court summon if you cannot attend on the first one. So what I want to know is there any sanction or consequences if the accused does not appear in the proceeding or continuously doesn't appear in the court hearing?
Yes, there are, legally speaking, there are consequences or sanctions that will be imposed to the ship owners or the operators, because the ship owners and operators actually is required to present the accused and or the witness who is employed by them for the maritime court proceedings. So the current regulation provides administrative sanctions for the owners or the operators if they are failing to do so. The first sanction will be the written warning, which will be given 3 times every 30 days period. If the owners or the operator does not comply, they may be sanctioned with the suspension of its business license. And if until the business license suspension period has ended, the ship's owner or operator still failed to comply with the regulation or to present the accused or the witness to the court hearing, then the final administrative sanction will be imposed against them, which will be in the form of revocation of the business license.
Oh, that's very interesting. So it is worth to note that there are like sanction for especially the ship owner and or the operator. So what I want to know is, this means in this kind of situation, the position of lawyer is quite crucial for those that are facing this process in the maritime court. Is that correct?
Of course, Jevanya. When we think about lawyers, in general, we think that lawyers are the people that appears before the court and represent the client during all stages, including prior to the court proceedings and in the proceeding itself. But there are some subtle differences in the maritime court itself. So when it comes to maritime court, the role of lawyers within the court proceedings are quite different, in a sense that the accused can only be represented by expert advisors to appear before the maritime court. So in principle, the accused can appoint 3 of the expert advisors, and they are quite different from lawyers, as the expert advisor are persons that have nautical expertise, technical expertise, ship engineering, and or law that understand shipping. Further, in that regard, procedurally speaking, lawyers can also attend such hearing as an observer in the maritime court, but lawyers are not allowed to intervene with the examination process. In practice, lawyers' involvement in maritime courts follow-up examination hearing will be to brief the personnel that will be examined by the tribunal, as well as to make a report on any important events, key questions from the tribunal, or the testimony given by the personnel and relevant officials.
Okay, thank you, Yoga. So in this regard, lawyers cannot represent in the maritime court, but the accused can be represented or can appoint expert advisor in the maritime court. Yes. I would like to ask this question to both of you, probably to Ms. Stephanie. As a lawyer experience in dealing with shipping dispute, in your experience, would the maritime court decision affect, for example, the civil court proceeding or criminal court proceeding, if the ship owner is facing, inter alia, civil claim related to the ship accident, will there be any consequences or effect of this maritime decision?
Well, thank you, Zefania, for your question. So to answer the question, firstly, I need to make it clear that the maritime court decision will not be binding to the civil court proceedings. It will not be binding to the civil court. But it is important to note that the maritime court decision will be important to be considered by the party who is willing or planning to file a civil claim or facing a civil claim submitted by the interested parties. That's why, as Yoga mentioned previously, in the proceedings, the lawyer will make a report or make a note on important events or key questions from the tribunal, as well as to report the final decisions by the maritime court, because in practice, we have seen that the maritime court decision is being taken into consideration as evidence during the civil court proceedings. As we mentioned, it it will not be binding, but it will be it may be used as an evidence to draw the conclusion by the panel of judges in the civil case in regards to the liability or the fault of one of the parties in the accident.
I see. So, in short, it's actually really important, the maritime court decision for civil claim, although it's not binding, but it will be highly considered. Yeah. So, in this regard, actually, there's more reason for everyone who is involved in this case, in a ship accident, to contact and also consult experienced lawyers such as Ms. Stefani and also Yoga. So, other than that, do you have any other additional comment or note for ship owners, especially that is planning to file a civil lawsuit or maybe facing a civil lawsuit relating to the ship accident? Is there any advice for them?
Okay, so there's maybe something to be noted that were to be noted related to the maritime court proceedings in relation to the upcoming civil claim between the interested parties, because we found that there is a court decision which consider that the time bar for the claim in the event of collision will be commenced after the maritime court decision. So basically the commercial code provides 1 to 2 year time bar for the claim after the death of the collision or after the damage due to the collision appeared. But we found the court decision wherein the court stated that the time bar will be commenced 1 year after the court, after the maritime court decision, although it should be noted as well by the by all of the owners or operators or interested parties that this view is not consistently being adopted by the panel of judges, but it is worth to note that it might be the panel of judges might be presumed that the time bar should be commenced after the maritime court decision.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Stephanie. So it is very important to note the time bar provisions, and also thank you for noting this court decision that actually delayed the time bar, basically. So is there any other court precedents that also can delay this time bar in the court, Ms. Stefani?
Yes, that is correct. As I mentioned, it there's a possibility that the time bar will be extended due to the maritime court decisions. We have seen a court decision that support that, although legally speaking, the Indonesian Civil Code provides that the time bar could be prevented by sending out a formal reprimand or somasi in Indonesia, a lawsuit, or a formal statement of claim within the relevant civil court.
Oh, okay. So any relevant party or interested parties that wish to submit the claim should really pay attention to their time limit and also this court precedent. Okay, so maybe I would say that's all probably for today. So I would like to say thank you to Mbak Stephanie. Thank you for attending this podcast.
Thank you, Zevanya.
Thank you also for...
And Yoga as well.
Yeah, thank you, Zevanya. Thank you, Mbak Stephanie.
Okay. So with this, our discussion regarding SIP accident examination is done. And I think this would be a good time for us to conclude this podcast. So thank you so much for all listeners that have listened to us since the beginning. Although if you have further questions regarding this subject or any subject, you can reach us at email at cr@budijaya.law. So that's all for now. See you in the next episode of Budijaya On Air. Goodbye.
This has been Budijaya On Air. Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss an episode by clicking the follow button, and make sure you subscribe to our website www.budijaya.law for more content like this.